Being here at LSU is everything I could have dreamed of.
It's Will Campbell Week here on PHL, and to celebrate, we're teaming up with our friends at Kettle to give out the Rolex that Will Campbell will be wearing on NFL draft night.
Biggest thing for me was, you know, come in and leave it better than I found it.
Oh yeah, did we mention we're also giving away a pair of tickets to a Will Campbell rookie game next year? Are you kidding me? Autographed footballs, helmets, and actually one of my own personal Will Campbell autographs. I'm giving that out as well with our friends at Kettle. Go to our link now, kettle.shop/PHLSU, and for each $10 entry, you have an opportunity to win all of these prizes. You have until May 2nd to sign up. So get to it now, baby. It's Will Campbell.
Let's freaking go. PHL Nation. It is a glorious Sunday night. LSU baseball gets it done versus Tennessee.
That pipsqueak, who's shorter than me, tried to decide to pick something with Bear Jones in one of the most exciting LSU baseball series I can remember. And then LSU softball gets it done this weekend. And then right when the weekend began, LSU got a commitment from Malaysia Fulwiley. And then you get a commitment over the weekend from Bernard Gooden on the football front. I've also got a few bit of intel nuggets. Over the weekend, there were a lot of LSU football players fellowshipping for a very sad occasion. Obviously, Kyron Lacy and his funeral service, which was beautiful. I highly recommend everyone go watch it. And look, outside of that sad occasion, it was, to me, one of the best weekends ever in LSU athletic lore. And on top of that, you had the NFL draft, where we knew Will Campbell was going to get drafted. There was a few shocks to me. I was perplexed that Braden Swinson was drafted after Savion Jones, which is very interesting. And Savion Jones teams back up with Jamar Cain, former LSU defensive line coach with the Denver Broncos. I want to start, though, with how you carry yourself matters so unfreaking believably much. It's just the bottom line. You know, the big story for a lot of us who are football related was the fall of Shedeur Sanders. And I understand in the NIL era, it's about getting the absolute highest dollar amount for yourself. That's basically what everyone is telling these players now, when it should be the opposite. You should maximize your wealth. I am all about going to the highest bidder. But don't just always be searching for the highest bidder. Don't just always be worrying about your brand as if your brand is the only thing that matters. Last time I checked, if you go to LSU or any organization, you're being a part of a team. Being a team player matters. We got even further into the mess that is the Madden and Nico Imeavalava situation with Arkansas and an NIL situation, contract breach, where lawyers are now starting to get involved with that. It was a pretty crazy, crazy weekend in sports. NBA playoffs pop and all that good stuff. Okay. But I understand that there are quite a few players that watch my show, some of which are current players, some of which are recruits. I cannot state enough, you will get so much value out of life being a good teammate and being a good team player and not always making everything about you. Because that really is a reason why Shedeur Sanders fell. Now, some of it was because he's not really that great of a prospect. Like I've told each and every person, you know, since his junior season with the Colorado Buffaloes. But whatever the case may be, being a good teammate, making it about everyone instead of it just being about yourself, it goes a long way. It goes a long, long, long way. Okay. Now,
As you guys could see, I am in a joyous mood today because my dear beloved Liverpool won the league. The biggest domestic soccer league on the planet is the English Premier League. Liverpool was able to get it done, and this was the second time they've gotten it done in the Premiership and the 20th time in their club's history. So I am rocking my team's colors. I normally don't get too Liverpool-y on here, but you have to when you actually win the league. You just do. All right. Now, let's go to the biggest football-related story over the weekend. I know a lot of us are worried about AJ Halsey, the safety out of Houston. I understand that I want him as much as you guys want him. I think LSU could really use some help in their secondary. But let's talk about Bernard Gooden, a talented 6'1", 280-pound defensive tackle out of South Florida. Now, it is important to understand that when it comes to defensive tackle evaluation, it's not just about playing defensive tackle. It's how you fit into the grand scheme of the scheme. And with Bernard Gooden, he is going to fill the three technique role, which is the outside shoulder of the guard. I do think he can give you some shade one A-gap type of play, but there is a difference between a guy like Glenn Dorsey and a guy like Tyler Shelvin. And LSU, with Bernard Gooden, you're getting more of a Dorsey type. Now, Dorsey was a little bit more scheme versatile because he was good at everything, but Gooden isn't the biggest guy in the world. But I'm not going to spend too much time because we've already done a film study on him on Thursday, on our Thursday night live stream. I broke down some of his plays from Miami that were really good, where he was making plays and clogging up lanes versus guys that were drafted. Made a few good tackles on Seattle Seahawks 7-round pick Damian Martinez in their game versus Miami earlier in the year. So this is a very nice pickup. I understand that this is a question I've gotten in our Discord chat. What the heck? We have a good defensive tackle room. Not only do we have a good defensive tackle room, we have a deep defensive tackle room. Well, there is a huge benefit of bringing in Gooden for a few reasons. Number one is I think we are overvaluing what we are returning in the LSU defensive tackle room. I truly do believe it. Now, that's not me saying that those guys that are in the current room aren't any good, because there are some good players. The truth, though, is Gooden outproduced a lot of those guys that are returning to that room. It also doesn't hurt adding an extra player to your trench. Look, do I think he is an automatic, surefire bet of being a superstar in the SEC? I don't think so. But do I think he is good enough to be a for sure lock of the rotation versus Clemson? You betcha. So we know he can hold up against really good competition. The second thing I would say is I wanted Kyle Williams to kind of get one of his guys in. Now, this isn't one of his guys in terms of high school recruitment. We've talked about it quite a bit, how different an actual recruitment is for a transfer portal player. But look, what I would say is now Kyle Williams gets a recruit that was actually under his watch. You know, a lot of these guys that signed are Bo Davis recruits. So I do like it when a coach is able to get one of the guys that he was in for, because that officially gave your stamp of approval when he decided to sign with LSU. Okay. So when you look at the LSU defensive tackle room, Ahmad Bro is a good player, but you still have to factor in that he is a defensive end being moved into a defensive tackle role. Dominic McKinley is fine. He had a fine true freshman season. You also have to factor in that Jakobian Guillory is coming off an injury. He's also a different type of player than Gooden. Same thing can be said of Sadir Mitchell. And then, of course, you have all those true freshmen that are in. You did lose Dylan Battle to the transfer portal. That was to kind of sort of make room here for Gooden to come in. So I am excited about Gooden. I do think he is a good player. But I do think A.J. Halsey is an absolute positively must get. And I hate using the words must get. But LSU does need a safety. I really, really, really do believe it. Because I do think that room could get ugly if they don't get someone that, you know, can play. And Halsey can for sure play. Let's go to Brian. He says, I believe this addition makes the trench matchup week one at Clemson far more even. Now, both teams' offensive lines will have a big challenge ahead. I do agree. I think LSU has a trench advantage on their defensive line. I think Clemson has a trench advantage on their defensive line as well. Peter Woods might be the best player in this game on either side of the line of scrimmage. He's a good player. But I love what we have at defensive end. I really, really, really do. You know, I really am still a big Jack Pyburn guy. I think he's going to break through. I think he'll be all conference by the end of next year. And obviously Patrick Payton, the best pass deflector I have ever seen at the defensive end position. Ridiculous ball skills. So I'm really pumped up for him, Relaford, and that whole crew. Okay. Now we get to what was, you know, like I cannot stress enough. Go watch the Kyron Lacy funeral homegoing celebration. It really was great. Jaden was there. Pretty much every LSU player was there. I can't get over when I look at the rest of the SEC, how many other teams have holes. And it's interesting when I look at the national media's polls of the SEC, I still see quite a few SEC media members very bullish on LSU. Michael Bratton has LSU as his number four team in the SEC. That doesn't sound all too great, but think about who you have to be ahead in order to be number four. That means Alabama, Georgia, Texas, they might be ahead of you, but you're also ahead of Texas A&M. They're a good team. You're ahead of Oklahoma, who should be a good team next year with what they have at quarterback and running back coming in from the portal. And we know they're going to be good on defense with Venables, even though they lost, you know, their two best players to the NFL draft, one of which is going to be a hoot at. I'm excited about old Danny Stutzman going to the Saints. I'm also excited about Jonas Sinker from Virginia. But the bottom line is you should feel fine about this current LSU team. You shouldn't feel great, but you also shouldn't feel like it's the end of the world. Because, look, we're an LSU-focused channel. We're going to be focused in on our weak links. And LSU's got a few of them. But so does all these other SEC teams. They do. They do. You know, the two best recruiters in the SEC have massive wild cards at quarterback. I don't know if Gunnar Stockton's good. I don't know if Ty Simpson's good. I don't. Okay. Now, I was able to catch a good bit of the Tennessee series. And look, we did 15 minutes on football. I try to keep it a mostly LSU football channel. But man, that Tennessee series is a good example about why I am so bullish on the future of college baseball. I really do think it could be something on the national scale. You know, I've said it all the time about ESPN and their incentive of making college baseball something that really is something massive. Okay. Y'all, that Friday night game was stuff of legend. The comeback, the two errors, Tennessee choking. It really was beautiful. And I love Tennessee. I've shared my allegiances to Tennessee and how they've grown my SEC channel. I have no ill will towards Tennessee until this weekend. I cannot state enough how much I love the fact that Tony Vitello is such a hateable coach. All right, I rarely put opposing coaches on my thumbnail image. That's why his face is on this image. He elicits a reaction. His players are brash. His players are bold. I like it. I like it. And we beat their ass this weekend. Now, it's funny I say that because Tennessee would have felt like they should have won this series because they choked a massive one on Friday night. Okay. But the truth is, what happened to Tennessee this weekend is essentially what happened to Texas with LSU earlier this year. When you lose a game that you shouldn't, you are going to lose a series. It's impossible to win two games versus a good team when you choke a game away. It's just how it works, okay? But, you know, outside of all of that, Jerry Jones, obviously, the home run, you know, he's a star of the weekend. But Curiel today, you know, I wish he could have gotten that triple for the cycle. But, yeah, I saw someone tweet out a photo of Curiel next to Dylan Cruz and saying, is this the second coming? I don't know if he's that good. Speaking of Dylan Cruz, are you seeing him right now? Four home runs in the last 10 games. But, look, I can't state enough how excited I am for LSU baseball. Chris Stanfield continues his great play. It's just a really, really, really fun team. Evans, the whole crew. It's a team that I am very bullish on moving forward. Now, I do love the fact that home field matters so much in the SEC. It really, really, really does. And you would tend to not think it would matter that much in baseball, but it really does. So I do think when you have a series win like this one versus Tennessee, you look at the rest of college baseball, and there was a lot of other elite teams that lost over the weekend. So LSU is going to move up into the polls. Arkansas lost a series this weekend. I think Tennessee lost, obviously, the series head-to-head. LSU is getting closer and closer to a super regional. And that's all you want. That's all you want. You want a top eight national seed. That's it. Now, I understand Hoover is always fun. We still got a few more series to go before we get to that point. But that's all we want. Okay. Next thing, LSU softball. Congratulations. You got 10 run ruled, and then you come out and you get it done to win the series. Congrats to you. And now we get to me, even with everything that we have discussed up to this point, the biggest story of the weekend when it comes to LSU. But first, the master is here. Pegasus, what's good? Chance says LSU still only has four reliable pitchers. We need a few pitchers to step up. I agree. But you know way more about that than I do. You know, I do think this story, I might be hyperbolizing it. I'm serious. But the bottom line is Malaysia Fulwiley committing to LSU is at the very least interesting. Okay, it's a very interesting move. Now, do I know if this is going to work? I don't. All right, so why isn't Fulwiley still at South Carolina? Well, she was frustrated with her role. She had a weird role on that team. You know, many feel She's the most talented guard on South Carolina's team. But she didn't start. She came off the bench. And, you know, in that national championship game versus UConn, it started off pretty rough. It just did for her. And with a Don Staley coach team, it's tough. You know, she's going to have a ton of 4 and 5 stars on that team. It's hard to find your way into a rotation when you're on a team this loaded. But now you go to LSU. LSU has better cards in South Carolina now. So how's this going to work? Well, it's going to work because Kim Mulkey finally gets a true point guard to run the show. All right. It's been a few years since we've had that Alexis Morris type. Now, as for Wiley, as good as Alexis Morris, Morris is probably, you know, she was definitely more experienced, more well-rounded. But Phil Wiley is showtime. She is so unfreaking believably exciting to watch. She's going to get us out in transition, behind the back passes, fake behind the back passes. She could do it all. And LSU is loaded. You know, I think Kim wasn't feeling pressure per se. She shouldn't feel pressure because, you know, she won us a natty. But she wants to win one. And they are spending big. They're on the recruiting trail. And this portal class is just massive. Even if you find a way to not get Sarah Williams, this is still a clear-cut nationally top-5 ranked team. So I love Phil Wiley. You know, it is so rare in the women's collegiate game to have a guard that moves like her, passes like her, cuts like her. It's crazy. It's like some and-one hot sauce mixtaped or type of stuff. Chicago Cheetah, welcome to the channel. Good to see you. Sibley, baseball is like a bag of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Bluebell Field. Yeah, that's where it gets tough. Is she like the truest, true point guard in the world? No. But I think she can be. Okay. Now, or at least I'm talking myself into that. Now, we get to my favorite, I mean favorite topic on the planet Earth. It's the NFL draft. Okay. And there's a reason why I'm saving the NFL draft talk for right now. And that's coming up right after this.
Let's go.
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's
freaking go. So LSU has 7 players selected in the NFL draft. Now, there used to be a stat that I would share here on PHL that the previous year amount of NFL draft picks was pretty predictive of the next year LSU football success. So basically, the years LSU had fewer amount of NFL draft picks, the better off they were when it comes to winning a national championship the next season. Now, why is that the case? Well, it's simple logic. If you have fewer NFL draft picks, it means you are losing less elite players. So before 2019 LSU actually had the fewest amount of draft picks in the modern era. They only had 3. So why do I not care about that stat anymore? Well, it's a transfer portal. You see, LSU, there are 2 defensive ends that are on this photo right here. Braden Swinson, Savion Jones. 2. LSU's defensive ends, probably the strongest position group on the team. Why? Because of the portal. You can even make a case that the defensive end room might be better next year. And Braden Swinson and Savion Jones are good football players. So this isn't as important as it once was because it is easier to replace that production. Okay. Another thing that's interesting is LSU, everyone that you see photographed here are trench players. And that is concerning, right? Every single player here is a guy who affects the box, who affects the line of scrimmage. They're all gone. So while I am not so concerned about losing 7 draft picks, I am concerned the position that they play. And it is also interesting that the 2 best players, Mason Taylor and Will Campbell, while they were elite guys, Miles Frazier was a very good player. Savion Jones had his moments. Braden Swinson was incredible. There were a few rough interviews. I reached out to try and figure out why Swinson fell so much. And, you know, there were some scouts that said that they were kind of turned off for whatever reason. He's a bold individual. But I think Braden Swinson could be the best player, period, out of this draft class. I really do mean it. I you guys know how I feel about Will Campbell. I think Will be a Pro Bowler. But Swinson, I really like his fit in New England. I really do. So, like I said, I was shocked that Savion Jones – that's about where Savion, I thought he was going to get drafted. I was shocked that Braden Swinson fell that far. Okay. Now, the next thing is there was a lot of LSU-adjacent players that were drafted. LSU missed on Trey Amos multiple times. He was a very good player at Alabama and at Ole Miss. Jack Besh gets drafted in the 2nd round. Trey Harris, it was said in an interview, he was waiting on the LSU offer. So in that cycle, when Trey Harris was available, I would need to quadruple check because this was, it seems like it was so long ago. I think it was Kyron Lacy. LSU brought in Kyron Lacy, who was a fantastic player. But Trey Amos was also available. And I think Trey Amos should have been a first-round receiver. I really do think he's that good. I really, really, really do think he's that good. And I think that fit with the Chargers is going to be really good for him. Okay. Hey, Randy. Oh, you met Blake this weekend? Oh, I hate that for you, man. I really do. I also want to discuss the undrafted free agents. I think this is, I think it's important to keep up with all our former LSU Tigers. I say it all the time. I lose viewership when I talk NFL, LSU. But that's okay. Gio Paez signs with the Bears. Zy Alexander. I'm kind of shocked nobody took a chance on a 6'3 corner who had good PFF grades. But I know why they didn't draft him. Medicals, and he's older. Major Burns signed by the Chicago Bears. Paris Shand, another trench player, signed by the Buffalo Bills. Josh Williams, signed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay? So good luck to the undrafted free agents as well. I think of the undrafted guys, do any of these guys have a chance of sticking? I would go with Zy Alexander. Okay. But, yeah, Chance, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, what is our major NFL draft takeaway, if there is one? Well, you know, it's tough because I think everyone here knows it, but goodness, that 2023 team was so loaded. So unfreaking believably loaded. And, you know, it's always going to be the biggest what could have been year. Now, the biggest what could have been game in year is 2011, but 2023 is always going to be the biggest what could have been. But now, with the portal, it just doesn't matter as much who you're losing on a year-to-year basis. If this wasn't the portal era, though, we would be royally screwed. Royally. We just would. Okay. And it wouldn't have mattered. I wouldn't feel that way if we weren't seeing the lack of results from some of our elite high school recruits that we have gotten over the past couple of years. Okay. We definitely need to start seeing more production from those players. Okay. Another thing about the players that were selected. Three of those guys were elite players from start to finish last year. Braden Swinson was elite. Will Campbell was elite. And Mason Taylor. Savion Jones was hit and miss. Garrett Dellinger got hurt. Miles Frazier was okay, and Emory Jones just had a down year. I do think Emory, throughout his LSU career, was playing out of position. I do think he'll play guard with the Ravens and be a very good NFL guard. In fact, I do think he has Pro Bowl potential at guard. But, you know, I just worry about having four offensive linemen drafted and then just magically replacing all those snaps with a ambiguous running game and a quarterback who can't really move. Now, Garrett can run. He will run more this year. But, and he obviously is ridiculously good at not taking sacks. It's not the pass protection I'm really worried about, because our offensive line can have really rough pass protectors, and Garrett still be great because he's that good at timing and reading and finding guys down the field, even if they aren't open. But we've got to be better. We just do. We've got to be better running the football and making life easier for, you know, all our other weapons on offense. Okay. Ohio State lost a bunch of trench guys. So did UGA. Once again, it comes with being an elite team. Yeah, dude, it is ridiculous how good Georgia is at producing linemen on both trenches. It's unfreaking believable. And you can make the same statement about Ohio State, but it is what it is. Okay. I mean, whatever Georgia's doing with their lines, it's insane. Let's go to Sibley. He wants to talk about the portal. You know, this season will feel different.
It really will feel different because I don't really consider what LSU has had in the past couple of seasons as true portal classes because there were so many hometown discount Louisiana guys coming home types of transfers. This portal class was mostly not that. And it was a lot of, hey, these guys were really in the marketplace and we have to go get them. Okay. So let's take someone like Jack Pyburn. He actually did have very heavy Louisiana ties, but a lot of the other guys didn't. You know, to Marcus Cooley, you had to find a way to out recruit and outbid to get him here. Same thing with Thompson, who I thought from my Tennessee sources was going to go to Tennessee. The recruiting people that do this every day, they had prediction meters going towards Tennessee. LSU won the battle. Patrick Payton, LSU won the battle. So it's hard to live this world because so much of LSU football has been built on the backs of high school recruits and Louisiana guys, all right? But this is a world that you live in. You got to be able to win in multiple ways. And you honestly have to have a mixture of both. The good thing for LSU is a lot of great teams have year three and year four guys that are good enough to be drafted, good enough to make it to the NFL, but they still decide to come back to play another year of college football. Honestly, I would have been very interested to see where Garrett Nussmeier would have been drafted. I would have been very interested. I also think Chris Hilton probably would have been drafted just based on his profile alone. That's good that they're coming back, though. They're good enough to be drafted as is. Patrick Payton, even though it was a down year and it was a loaded edge rusher class, he still would have been drafted. Some team would have taken a chance. So the fact that LSU has a lot of these experienced guys that have played a lot of football and have true NFL draft pedigree really raises the floor of this team. And that's a really good thing if you're an LSU fan, okay? Let's go to Graylin. He's been rocking with us for a while. Graylin, how long have you been? You've been with me since day one. Having a better defensive line, especially at DT, will help our offensive line. It hurt us last year. Yes, one of my biggest Galaxy brain takes as to why the LSU run game struggled so much last year is why when you go back and you look at some of the spring highlights and just how some of the practices went, no, the LSU run game was destroying the LSU defense. Absolutely, positively, just rushing it right up the gut.
in the spring? Well, in the spring, our defensive tackles were walk-ons. One transferred to Northwestern. Another was an offensive lineman converted to defensive line. And it really was just one scholarship defensive tackle. And I think that can hurt you. You know, if you're running up the gut and the runs are working in practice, remember, you don't have scrimmages. You don't have actual competition you're going up against when you're in practice. It's tough. It's really, really, really tough. And that would explain why the run game was what it was last year. Okay. Here's Pegasus. He says this is the first time in a while he has no idea who's on the team. Yeah, well, how much of the team will be transfers? Well, your running back room has no transfers. Your offensive line will have at least one transfer starter. Tight end will have one transfer starter slash rotation guy. Receiver will be a little bit more transfer heavy. And then defensively, it's going to be a lot of transfers. It's going to be a lot. A lot. Okay. Now, I've touched on everything that I wanted to touch on. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about AJ Halsey. Now, if you get a super chat in, I would love to talk about him even more, but I am putting out good vibes that he will commit to LSU. And when he does, we'll have a full film study on him because he can play. Okay. Let me see. Okay. I want to go on a little rant here. Talk about the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. It's my favorite weekend of the year because not only is it the NFL draft, you also have the first round of the NBA playoffs going on. All right. And then you also have LSU baseball going on. You got LSU. So you got all these things going on that I like a lot. Okay. I freaking love the NFL draft. I might have turned on Mel Kiper for good this weekend, though. I might have. I will always be envious of Mel Kiper as a football analyst who came from nothing and created this thing. And he's great. But it's funny that he was so bold. But for over a decade, Mel Kiper has never given out a C grade for a draft. So every year, he does like a post-draft grade, and he never gives out a C. It is impossible for every draft to be an A or a B. That's not how the NFL works. It should be even across the board, if not more bad drafts than good drafts. And then you have to factor in, are you grading a draft based on the process the team went through? Are you grading a draft based on your own personal evaluation of the players? And for one, I am very happy the Saints are in the same division as the Falcons because their front office has had 2 years in a row where they butchered the first round. But whatever the case may be, what Mel Kiper did this weekend with Shedeur Sanders was inexcusable. It was inexcusable. And I understood that he might have a relationship with Deion, and Shedeur was the biggest story. It's one of the biggest draft stories of all time. I totally get it. But I can understand if it's some other person on the draft
panel that's doing it, but you're Mr. NFL Draft. You're Mr. I scout every single person on the damn planet, and I wanted to make the entire NFL draft about Shedeur Sanders? What? And then he said, the NFL has never been able to evaluate quarterbacks in over 50 years. Bro, you were the one that said Jimmy Clausen, if he didn't work out, you would retire. Hell, you're still going. You're still going. I remember hearing him say that and me telling all my friends at school, y'all, Jimmy Clausen is going to go freaking Tom Brady on your asses. Y'all, I could not believe. I could not believe what he was doing. So, I'm happy for what Mel Kiper's done for the NFL draft. Nobody would argue against it, especially as a football analyst who's basically coming from nothing. I'm not a, I don't come from nothing, but I'm not a former player or coach. You get such a huge advantage if you're a player, coach, scout, or whatever. And he came from nothing and basically, you know, built what he built. But that was just asinine. It was flat out asinine. And then you get to the prank call where it was, once again, the Falcons. Prank call was in bad taste. It was in bad taste. Okay? It's also not a crime against humanity. Okay? It's not a crime against humanity that he got pranked. And it's funny how Shedeur, if he never played a down of football, never, ever, ever played a down of football in the NFL, he is still going to be one of the most widely successful off-the-field football players of all time. Because he's a star. He's marketable. He's interesting. But, you know, I was just so Shedeured out. Why weren't we talking more about Cam freaking Ward? Or just any of the other draft prospects. Let's go to Mark. He says, Emory Jones should have come back. Well, let's have a convo about that. Let's have a good conversation about that. Putting the hat back on forward for it. Did LSU want Emory Jones back? Yes. Was LSU very forthright and aggressive in getting Emory Jones back? Yes. Yes. They tried. I get it from Emory Jones's perspective. You played three consecutive seasons where you practically started every single game of your college career. Obviously not the first two as true freshman season. And then in his sophomore season, he had a few injuries. But, you know, he last season wasn't as good as we thought he was going to be. All right. He just wasn't as good. And Emory Jones, since I've been grading offensive players, still has the highest high school football score of any player I've graded. More than Caden Durham, more than a couple of these other really good offensive players since I've been dishing out grades. And I think on Patreon, that was the first year that I did grades. But I've always kind of kept tabs, if you will. And goodness gracious, Emory Jones, that is still the best high school offensive film I've seen over the past couple of years. It really is that special. The way he runs on screens, I mean, all of it. The dude is a specimen, okay? I will say, though, it was interesting. I'm not a great offensive line evaluator. I have very good knowledge of, like, all positions when I do film studies and all of that. But, you know, there's a limit. I didn't coach or play at some extremely high level. I'm not Brian Baldinger or anything like that. I do take evaluation very seriously. I do read other evals. And one thing that was very interesting is how many
NFL draft analyst loved the LSU offensive lineman this cycle. I'm not talking about Will Campbell. Everybody loves Will Campbell to a certain degree. Okay? I'm talking about them loving the other three players that were drafted. All right? So I understand that there is a big focus on Emory Jones. He should have come back. The question should be, why was Emory Jones still drafted even though his PFF grades were rough? And he was an inconsistent player last year. Why was that the case? Well, it's simple. The guys that are smarter than us and all the scouts and teams as a whole will always be the best judge of if you can play in the NFL or not. They're good at their jobs. They felt good enough that our offensive line that could not run the football at all last year was still good enough for all four of them to get drafted. Two of which by one of the sharpest football mind organizations of the past couple of decades, the Baltimore Ravens, who, by the way, outside of Patrick Queen, they have never selected LSU players. The NFL thinks all four of them can play. I was shocked how many people in the NFL love Miles Frazier. They freaking adore Miles Frazier. They said when he was selected by the Lions, that is one of the best draft picks in this entire draft. So I read a few evaluations and I got into the weeds of what they were saying about our guys. And they were basically saying, hey, these guys can play. It's just we weren't put in the best positions to succeed. So the reason I'm saying all of this is because we need to evaluate everything. Everything with how we are putting together this offense next year. When it comes to our offensive line play, are we doing the same type of pass set over and over? When it comes to run blocking, are we giving the defenses different pictures for them to have to decipher and go make plays? We've already done a Patreon deep dive on how bad we were when it comes to disguising our run principles. And what that can do is it can lead to more penalties. It could obviously lead to defenses knowing what's coming. And we have really got to, we've got to do a better job of getting the most out of what we have. Because anytime four offensive linemen get selected, one of which that was in the first five picks of the entire draft, that unit should be one of the best units in college football. It should be. Okay. Let's go to Pegasus. That's a good question. So was the whole 2023 offense drafted outside of running back? So center wasn't, but yes, it is true. BTJ, Malik. Won a member of 2023, but Jack Besh. Mason Taylor for the starters, yeah. Let's go to Hayden. Afternoon, Carter. Remember the guy you gave the Power Hour bands to at the Vegas airport? Well, Hayden, you got to send me a photo, man. I gave out a ton of bands. Let's see, the Vegas airport. Was this the... I don't know. But I do remember giving out a ton of bands. And it's good to have you back, Hayden. Yeah, Tyler Warren got pranked as well. I saw that earlier. It's a prank call, for goodness sakes. Line up. Was it in bad taste? Yeah. And one of you send me the Angel Reese shooting threes. Let's go. Yeah, I guess I don't know. The prank was bad, okay? But it's just sad. It's a prank. You know, Cooper DeJean had it happen to him last year. But I am kind of pulling for Shador now. I am. Yes, you shouldn't do that. Once again. You know, athletes deserve their space, right? I also, and I do give the kid a lot of credit for apologizing. I think we should welcome more apologies in society. And I think we should also be willing to admit when we are wrong with our opinions from time to time. But I would also say, in this instance, I wish the prank caller would have just double downed. I would have loved to have seen him double down. Okay, now he couldn't have because he wants his dad to keep his job. But it would have been funny to say, hey, Shador, judging how your weekend went, that was probably the highlight of everything. And then on top of that, you know, Shador started getting sympathy. When you listen to all the other things that were being said about him, they were negative. But now, sympathy is in your favor. Okay, was it lame? Yeah, it was lame. All right. And I'm not really a huge fan of like the cringy prank world that we live in, even though it does numbers on social media. You know, something else that was interesting. There's so much stuff that actually never sees the light of day. There's a lot of stuff that never actually gets picked up by like local media, national media. And sometimes it's the local and national media knowing stuff, but they don't actually put it out there. Am I part of that problem? Yeah, there's times where, you know, you get stories told to you and you don't actually share it. But I say all of that because the NFL, when they do research on you, guess what? They're going to figure it out. They're going to figure out one way or the other if you're a fit. And the absolute positively most perfect example of this was actually with Bill Belichick. So Bill Belichick does this interview with CBS, and it was atrocious. He showed up in like a shirt that had holes in it, and he had this scraggly image. And his girlfriend interrupted the interview as her media czar. And she also showed up to this interview dressed like she just got out of a one-night stand. But no, this is a forever thing, apparently. Could you imagine all of this happening in an NFL locker room? Bill Belichick dating a woman who is younger than all the players, basically, on the team. It's insane. Guess what? The Falcons, they were thinking about doing it. And they're like, I don't want that. I don't want Stacey co-ed in that situation. And the interviewer did a great job for CBS. He said, how'd you guys meet? She said, we don't want to get into that. I think I know how they met, but I won't get into how they met. Ha, ha, ha. Let's go, Shawty. What's up, brother? Good to see you. This comes in from Ryan. Sends me a text. As I text DM, he says, Carter, what do you think of the Saints draft? Thought it was a good draft. You guys got to tell me what you think of Tyler Shuck. Now, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, you let me know what you want to talk about. I've pretty much gotten everything. Bernard Gooden. I still couldn't believe freaking J.J. Redick decided it was a good idea to play the same Lakers lineup for 24 consecutive minutes in the second half. Tyler Shuck is 6'4", can run, so you'll have some zone read game, has the most talented arm in the class. I think people are overrating the age thing. I don't care so much about the age thing. Okay. I just don't think he's that good. Sometimes it's just that simple. Now, why is that the case? Well, Pocket would get dirty and kind of gets a little erratic. The turnovers are an issue. I think he tries to get a little too cute at times. And, you know, ball placement to me is a thing. So we'll see. I do find where Will Howard landed to be interesting in Pittsburgh, where there is a path forward for him to potentially be the starter. But Tyler Shuck, I mean, he's going to start a few games this year at the very least. How about Liverpool? How about the Reds? All right, y'all. That'll just about do it for me.
What an epic
Sunday night live stream, baby. One day closer to Clemson. Big thanks to our top super chatter tonight, Mr. BT. Really appreciate you. We will be back Tuesday night at 7. Now, once again, you still have your shot to win Will Campbell's Draft Day Watch. Just go to kettle.shop/PHLSU. Kettle.shop/PHLSU. It is.
Pow. Ow. LSU. Boom.
And tonight, we are doing, oh, pot roast. Let's go.